today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
God destroyed Sodom for their immorality, right? They were very immoral people. But did you know there's a greater sin than moral sin? I know you think about things like murder and adultery. I mean, obviously the Ten Commandments. Certain things that people will call sin. Certain things we're convicted and we go against the conviction of the Lord. That's definitely sin. But there's a greater sin than moral sin. The great sin is rejecting Jesus Christ.
A good person by the world's standards by being kind, influencing others to be kind also, but effective fruit, the type that leads people to repentance, can only be produced if you have an authentic relationship with Jesus. What kind do you have, and do people realize they need it too? Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, Jesus Doesn't Conform.
She was so angry, and she said, "Ever since you killed my son, my life has been a nightmare." She said, "But I want you to know, I forgive you." And she took the noose off, or had them take the noose off, and he was actually spared his life because of her kindness and her mercy. She's not a Christian. She does not have Jesus Christ in her heart. That was a very, very kind act. It was merciful. It was loving. And we would say, "Oh, only Christians can have that." Not true. There's something about that kind of love, that kind of act, that is so good, people can experience it. But the difference is, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Yes, you can be a good person by our standards. I mean, an overwhelmingly kind person without a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you cannot go to heaven. I didn't make the rules. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus said, talking about fruit, that's where we started. That was great fruit, wouldn't you say? That Muslim woman, I mean, you'd say, "Oh, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit." Well, that was great fruit. And it would make an impact. But effective fruit for Christ can only be produced, and I mean fruit for Christ, not kind acts that cause people to want to do more kind acts. But the fruit that leads to repentance, that leads people to Christ, that kind of fruit can only come as we abide in Christ. Saving fruit. So I ask you again the same question. What kind of fruit are you producing? Do people realize they need what you have? Are people challenged in their faith? Are challenged in their lack of faith because of the way you're living your life, what they see in it? Are you growing? Are you changing? Is that process of change working out in your life? Are you more committed to Christ right now than you were maybe a year ago? Are these changes taking place? More rooted in Christ? The people saw all that Jesus had done. They were impressed with all that he had done. Some even got excited about what he had done, but they did not let it change them. And so he says in verse 20, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. The idea is, if you don't know the custom, they would clothe themselves with like burlap, basically, and just mourn. And they would be dressed in just hideousness and cover themselves and show that they were in a state of mourning. He said they would, these cities would have mourned and put on sackcloth and ashes and repented long ago. Verse 22, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom, and we know all about Sodom, in the day of judgment than for you. He's rebuking Jewish cities, and he's using Gentile cities to make a point. The word woe that he uses is a word that pronounces judgment, but there's more than that. It's not just this condemning judgment. It's a judgment mixed with pity and sorrow. It's almost like saying, it doesn't have to be this way. Why do you do this? Judgment is coming. Woe to you. That's the feeling. That's the sense here. Because these towns had seen Jesus. They had physically seen him. They had physically heard his powerful messages, and they were not transformed. How tragic that they had the opportunity to see and hear Christ, and yet they did not believe or receive. He says that these Gentile cities would have done it long ago. And then he mentions Capernaum, and he says, you were exalted to the heavens. What does that mean? Well, Jesus headquartered himself in Capernaum for 3.5 years. To be in Capernaum, well, Billy Graham. I remember when Billy Graham came to San Antonio. Someone said, hey, are you going to go see Billy Graham? I said, of course, he's in San Antonio. I don't have to go anywhere. He's here. You know, I wasn't going to go to Dallas probably, and sir wasn't going to go to North, South Carolina and those places. But when he was here, I got to hear him. I was here. I thought it was awesome. It was cool. Billy Graham's right here. Billy Graham's praying right here. I know he's not a God. I know that. But, you know, it's like just cool. So anyway, Jesus was right there. That was his headquarters. He did many of his miracles right there. They didn't have to travel. They said, oh, Jesus is back in town. Let's go hear what he has to say. It was as if they were in heaven. They'd been exalted to heaven with him being accessible all the time or very often. And yet they were unchanged. They'd been the ones who were privileged to have him staying there, seeing his miracles, and yet their greater privilege brought greater responsibility, and ultimately, as we read here, greater judgment, condemnation. What a shame that Jesus will press in and get so close to a heart, and someone will say, no. No, I don't want it. It's about the change, right? Why the woe? Because they did not repent. That's why the woe. They didn't turn. God destroyed Sodom for their immorality, right? They were very immoral people. But did you know there's a greater sin than moral sin? I know you think about things like murder and adultery. I mean, obviously the Ten Commandments. Certain things that people will call sin. Certain things we're convicted and we go against the conviction of the Lord. That's definitely sin. But there's a greater sin than moral sin. The great sin is rejecting Jesus Christ, who came to the earth. And we have heard about him. No one in this room can say, well, I'm just going to say I never heard. I never knew. Rejecting Jesus Christ is the great sin. And they reject him. And this text marks the end of Jesus' Galilean ministry. He's going to begin moving on from Galilee. And here's the idea that I want to communicate, that I don't know if you're saved or not, but God's grace is extended to you. He's reaching out to you. And it would be a shame to say no. And maybe you've been saying no. God's been trying to get your attention for some time. You're a believer today. And you're pushing the envelope on certain things in your life. Maybe recreational use of alcohol or drugs that God has convicted you of. Or a relationship that is something that you should not be involved in. And you've been toying with it. It's been controlled, but God has convicted you. Just as Jesus is going to leave this place under condemnation And they will experience the full brunt of that condemnation, that judgment. You don't know when the last, don't do this, is going to come and the judgment, the full brunt of the consequences are going to fall upon you. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. If you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in rebellion. This is the day. God offers you life or you can choose death. He says choose life. Follow Him. Make the right choices. And Jesus is reaching out to you. But God's grace is for those who will receive Him. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. In other words, you can't say, I don't go through Jesus. I go straight to God or the Father. I believe in Him. I'm not going to go that narrow way. I'm going to go through this other way, but it leads me to God. No, the Father, if you get to the Father, He's going to say, oh, comes through my Son. He's revealed through the Son. You must go to the Son. The Holy Spirit, same thing. You can't say, oh, we were filled with the Holy Spirit of God today. Oh man, the Spirit was moving. I know it was the Spirit, because there is no way in the middle of a church service with people around and the music playing that I would ever get up and run around and bark like a dog. I would never do that on my own. But man, that was the Spirit of God. No, it was not the Spirit of God. It was your inhibitions unleashed and you just did some wild things that, any bottle of alcohol could have caused you to do as well. But it was not the Lord. So he's saying, look, everything leads to Christ. Everything comes through Christ. There is no other way. And then it says, Jesus saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to Him? So many think He's such a taskmaster. He has nothing but help that He wants to give you. And yes, some of the opinions, some of the ideas, some of the things we want to do are against His will. And yes, we're going to have to deal with that. But He wants the best for us. Jesus calls the simple. Those who are willing to receive, they're the ones who respond. The word wise here, God's not against wisdom. It's not like, I don't like wise people. I want the foolish people. The wisdom here He's talking about is wise in your own eyes. That kind of wisdom, where you think you're wise. I mean, obviously God gives wisdom. He wants you to have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's this wisdom from the world, this being wise in my own eyes. They're the ones who think, I can figure this out on my own. I don't need help. I've always figured it out on my own. I will continue, and I've been okay. You're comfortable enough, wise enough in your own eyes, that it actually becomes a barrier between you and faith in God, faith in Christ. And as long as you want to keep trying on your own and in your own strength, you're never going to see the one who is standing right there, who is willing to lift you up and help you, even carry you when necessary. You're never going to find Him. You're never going to respond to His call to say, come to me, all you're heavy laden. I'm not heavy laden. I'm not heavy laden. I got this. I got it, Lord. My daughter, Rachel, she likes to carry stuff for me. She likes to help. And so she's the youngest one. She'll come out there and she'll grab a bag. And, oh, not that one. It's got glass. And I'm trying to figure out which one. She'll always want to grab a heavy one. She feels like she's really helping then. And so she grabs it and she's walking and she's struggling. And I'm walking with her and the bag is getting lower and lower and lower. And finally, okay, Daddy, you take it. So I'll take it. And then we move on. But she wanted to help. But it's not until she gets tired that she finally says, Daddy, you take it. So often, that's the case for us. There was a story of a man who was drowning. He and his wife had gone out to this remote area, just the two of them. There was a slow-moving river, enough that you could swim in it and it wouldn't sweep you away. You could swim and stay in one location. And so they were swimming, and the wife was hanging out. She didn't swim. She didn't know how to swim. All of a sudden, he went down and started yelling help, and it was obvious he was drowning. A stranger comes by, and she starts crying out, "Help, help, do you know how to swim?" He says, "Yes, I know how to swim." And so he comes over, and he starts getting ready to go out and help the guy, but he's not moving with a lot of speed. And she's in a hurry, like, "Hurry, hurry, hurry. He's drowning out there. Hurry up." And so he takes off, gets everything ready. He goes out, and he still stays at a distance from the man, close enough, while he's trying to stay afloat. Finally, the guy just had no more strength, and he just went under. And at that point, the guy swam over to where he had just gone down. He was very close. Went down, pulled him up, and this kind of almost lifeless, limp body, he pulls out and resuscitates him, and he was fine. The woman was upset, and he could have died. Why didn't you? He was still, and he's got water in his life. She was just complaining and frustrated and flabbergasted by the whole way the man handled the situation. And he said, "Lady, listen, if I had gone over to that man while he was fighting, he would have fought me and he could have drowned both of us. It would have been no good. But once he gave up and he had no strength and no more strength to fight, I could go in and it was easy for me to get him and to bring him out. And he was going to be fine. I knew it. I had the whole situation under control." See, very often, God wants to work in our lives. We're like, "Where are you at, Lord? Where are you at? Help me out. I got this here." And you are fighting. You're trying to do all the work. You've not given up to him. You still have your own outcome, your own agendas, your own things you're trying to make happen. God's saying, "Look, while you got all that, there's nothing I can do. I've got to wait back here and let you finally give up when you really give up." For some people, it's very, very low place that they got to get. But we got to be able to give up and trust in God and say, "Look, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm out of strength." You gotten to that place? You ever been to that place? So Jesus calls those who are in that place, the weary. In the midst of a weary world, Jesus wants to give you rest. You know, it's a lot of work to try to figure things out, having the weight of every outcome on your shoulders. But you know, it was never meant to be there. You're a servant of God. The outcome's on His shoulders. You just say, "Look, we're following the Lord. This is what God wants. This is the way. And I don't care what kind of consequence it produces in you guys, but this is the heart of God. This is the direction of God. This is the leading of God. We're following Him." The burden of that is on His shoulders. It confuses me how so many Christians act as though God has placed such a heavy burden on them. I know times get tough, but you know, Scripture says, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord." Isaiah 26:3, you might want to remember that one. Because the key is keeping your mind on the Lord, keeping your eyes on the Lord. When you get your eyes on the problem, yes, it will overwhelm you. It is a bit much. Nothing's under your control. That's why it's a problem. But when you look to Christ and say, "Look, there's nothing that happens outside of your will. So God, this is too much for me. I lay it down. What do you want me to do? Just take my hands off it. What do you want me to do? What's my part?" And you'll find His burden is light. Your part is simple. It's small. And it has nothing to do with the results or consequences. If you find yourself carrying such a heavy burden, it's probably because you're carrying something that you should not be carrying. We need to make sure that we're listening to the Lord and carrying what God has given us, or we're going to try carrying something that God has not given us. So often people are walking around, God's given them two things to carry, but they're juggling because they've got five things they want to carry. "Oh, this is hard, Lord, because I'm doing what you want me to do." No, this one and this one are what I want to do. All that other stuff, that's you. You've created the burden. You've created the problem. In Jeremiah, God said about some who had gone out and taken upon themselves ministry, and as a result, they were misleading the people, because it wasn't God's word and it wasn't God's heart that was coming through. He said, "Look, I never sent them. These people are not going to profit at all. They're not going to profit the people at all. They've taken it upon themselves to do this, and I'm not with them. They're doing it in their own strength, their own way, and I have not sent them. So the people aren't going to profit from this." It's always exciting to follow the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light." You know, burnout doesn't happen in God's will. and in His power. Burnout happens with people who are taking something upon themselves. They have a desired outcome. They want to take this on. It's what they want to do. And so they get burnt out. But burnout does not happen in the will of God and in His power. If Jesus wants you to do something, He'll give you everything you need to do it. It's always exciting to let the Lord lead you. You don't know what that's going to bring in any given day. At times, it can be very challenging, but you will always make it. Acts 5:32 says that He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey. He's given the Holy Spirit to those who obey. So yes, He leads you, and you go, this is too much. I can't do that. He says, that's right. And I didn't leave you as an orphan either. I gave you the Holy Spirit. So of course you can't do it. But in Me, you can do everything. They didn't want Him, though. That was the point. They didn't want to do His way. They didn't want His agenda. They didn't want to conform to His image. They wanted Him to conform to theirs. They had their religion all laid out. They had their life in the way that they wanted it. But Jesus did not dance to their tune, so to speak. He didn't play the game. They needed to change. And the issue, what stopped them from changing, is repentance. They wouldn't repent and say, what we're doing is wrong. It is sin. You put your finger on it and we're going to turn from it and call it what it is. They kept making excuses. But did you know what? Jesus doesn't accept excuses. Did you know that? He doesn't accept excuses from you. Here's why. I just said it. He gives the Holy Spirit to you. You're without excuse. Jesus says, do this, but man, I can't do this. But He's giving you the Holy Spirit, so you're without excuse. You can't say, well, Lord, I can't do this. Except to go, Lord, I can't do this. Help me, because I'm going to do it anyway by faith, because You've said. If anyone could have that excuse, it would be Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. Because the angel said to her, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And her excuse, I've not known a man. So what are you saying? Me and Joseph should rush this thing? And no. You don't need all of that stuff. You physically cannot do this. And that's why, who came along and helped? The Holy Spirit. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So if she couldn't have an excuse, we are without excuse. With God, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. We're not going to shout it out right here. I don't want you saying, what about this? What about this? Don't shout it out. But whatever it is you might shout out at this moment, nothing will be impossible with Christ when He asks you to do it. Some people say, well, how about running a mile in 0.4 seconds? I think it would hurt if God did move you that fast in the flesh, because the rapture actually is in the twinkling of an eye. I think that's less than 0.4 seconds. So we're going to be moving really quick, and it's more than a mile. So that'll happen one day for some who are still around. But in the flesh, that would really hurt. It'd rip the skin right off of you, I think. But there is nothing that's impossible. And the truth is, He wouldn't ask you to do that anyway, I don't think. So don't play those kind of games. Repentance is the issue. So are you ready to lay down the weight of the world? Because it was never intended to be on your shoulders. It's sad to see or hear Christians break under the pressures of life, because it was never meant to be that weight. They don't have to. It's not their weight to carry. You know why we think we got to carry this weight? It's because we think the outcome depends on us. Stop thinking about the outcome. Just be faithful. It's a light burden that He gives you. Scripture says, cast your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And then recognize this. Recognize that God owns you. You're His. So when He leads you, if you get into a problem, guess whose problem it is? It's His. It's not yours.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. I want to know You more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.